Hello. Today I will be reading another book, and it's been a long time, and I haven't read a book in a long while. I know I said I was going to read more and more books, but I've been on vacation. So today I'm going to be reading Return to the Wild, Seeker's Island of Shadows by Aaron Hunter. It's the first book of Seeker's Return to the Wild. Chapter 1, Lusa. Excitement tingled through Lusa's paws as she paddled down the snow-covered beach. Ice stretched ahead of her, flat, sparkly, white, unchanging as far as the horizon. She didn't belong here. No blackbirds did. Yet here she was, walking confidently onto the frozen ocean beside a brown bear and two white bears. Urdurak had gone, but Yacone and a white bear from Star Island had joined. Lusa, Kalik, and Toklo. There were still four, and a new journey lay ahead, a journey that would take them back home. Glancing over her shoulder, Lusa saw the low hills of Star Island, looming dark beneath the mauve clouds. The outlines of the white bears who lived there were growing smaller with each paw step. Goodbye, she thought, with a twinge of regret that she would never see them again. Her home lay among trees, green leaves, and sun-warmed grass, a long, long way from this place of ice and wind as sharp as claws. Lusa wondered if Yacone was feeling regret, too. The birds of Star Island were his family, and he had chosen to leave them so that he could be with Kalik. But he was striding along resolutely beside Kalik, his unusual red-shaded pelt growing in the sunrise, and he didn't look back. Toklo plodded along at the front of the little group, his head down. He looked exhausted, but Lusa knew that exhaustion was not what made his steps drag and kept his eyes on his paws and his shoulders hunched. He's grieving for Urdurak. Their friend had died saving them from an avalanche. Lusa had grief for him, too, but she clung to certainty that it hadn't been the end of Urdurak's life. Not really. The achingly familiar shape of the bear who had led them all the way to Star Island had returned with stars in his fur, skimming over the snow and soaring up into the sky with his mother. Siluk. Two starry bears making patterns in the sky forever. Following the endless circle of Arcturus, the constant star, Lusa knew that Urdurak would be with them always, but she wasn't sure if Toklo felt the same. A cold claw of pain seemed to close around her heart, and she wished that she could do something to help him. Maybe if I distracted him. Hey, Toklo! Lusa called, bounding forward past Kalik and Yacone until she reached the grizzly's side. Do you think we should hunt now? Toklo started as if Lusa's voice had dragged him back from somewhere else. What?
I said we should hunt now. This close to shore, they might pick up a seal above the ice.
Or even a young walrus. Toklo gave her a brief glance before trudging on. No, it'll be dark soon. We need to travel while we can.
Then it'll be too dark to hunt. Lusa bit the words back. It wasn't the time to start arguing, but she wanted to help Toklo wrench his thoughts away from the friend he was convinced he had lost.
Do you think geese ever come down to rest on the ice? She asked. This time Toklo didn't even look at her.
Don't be bee-brained, he said scathingly. Why would they do that?
Geese find their food on land. He quickened his pace to leave her behind. Lusa gazed sadly after him. Most times when Toklo was in a grouchy mood, she would give as good as she got, or tease him out of his bad temper. But this time, his pain was too deep to deal with lightly. Best to leave him alone, she decided. For now, anyway. As Star Island dwindled behind the bears, the short snow sky day faded into shadows that seemed to grow up from the ice and reach down from the sky, till the whole white world was swallowed in shades of gray and black. When Lusa looked at back, the last traces of the hill that had become so familiar had vanished into the twilight. Star spirits began to appear overhead, and the silver moon hung close to the horizon like a shining claw. The bears trekked between snowbanks that glimmered in the pale light, reaching above their backs in strange shapes formed by the scouring wind. "It's time we stop for the night," Kalik announced, halting at the foot of a deep drift. "This looks like a good place to make a den." "I'll help you dig," Yukon offered. He began to scrape at the bottom of the snowbank. Lusa watched the two white bears as they burrowed vigorously into the snow. This would be Yukon's first night away from his family, away from the permanent den where he had been raised. Yet he seemed unfazed, enthusiastic even. As he helped Kalik carve a shallow niche that would keep off the worst of the wind, the white bears' heads were close together. Now as they scraped at the harder, gritty snow underneath the fluffy top layer, Yukon said something that made Kalik huff him with amusement, and she flicked a paw full of snow at him in response. Lusa turned away, not wanting to eavesdrop. A pang of sorrow clawed once more at her heart when she spotted Toklo standing a little way off, watching the white bears without saying anything. After a moment, he turned his back on Kalik and Yukon and raised his head to fix his gaze on the stars. Looking up, Lusa made out the shining shape of Siluk, the great bear, and close to her side, the little bear, Ujarak. Seeing him there made her feel safe, because she knew that her friend was watching over them. It helped her to comfort her grief. But there was no comfort for Toklo. All he knew was that his friend, the other brown bear, on this strange and endless journey, had left them. His bleak gaze announced his loneliness to Lusa as clear as if he had put it into words. "We're here, Toklo," she murmured, too faintly for the brown bear to hear. "You're not alone." She knew that Toklo had been closer to Ujarak than any of them. He had taken the responsibility of protecting the smaller brown bear. Toklo felt like he had failed when Ujarak died, Lusa thought. "He's wrong, but how can any bear make him understand that?" Kalik's cheerful voice sounded behind her. "The den's nearly ready!" Lusa turned to see the white she-bear backing out of the cave that she and Yukon had dug it into the snow. Kalik shook herself, scattering clots of snow from her fur. "Are you okay, Lusa?" she asked. "You look worried." Lusa glanced toward Toklo, still staring up at the stars. "He's missing Ujarak. I wish I knew what to say to him." Kalik gazed at Toklo for a moment, and then shook her head with a trace of exasperation in her eyes. "We're all missing Ujarak," she responded. "But we know that he's really not dead." "Toklo doesn't see it like that," Lusa pointed out. "I know," Kalik's voice stopped him for a minute. "It's hard out here without Ujarak. But think what we've achieved together. We destroyed the oil rig and brought the spirits back so the wild be safe. Toklo should remember that. Toklo just remembers that Ujarak gave his life for us." While Lusa was speaking, Yukon emerged from the den, thrusting heaps of newly dug snow aside with strong paws. Kalik padded toward him, then glanced back over her shoulder at Lusa. "Thank you for being really good listeners, and I will read more some other time. Bye."